Talk about the Greens, that bunch of idiots.
Hey there, Climactic Collective listeners.
I'm Emerald Moon.
And I'm Tom Bella.
And together we host Serious Danger,
a podcast about Australia's broken political system and its greatest threat,
the Australian Greens.
It's a show about green politics in Australia.
The kind of politics that puts people and the planet before profit.
We talk to cool and interesting people about fighting for good shit, like taxing billionaires,
housing for all,
workers' rights,
First Nations justice,
and drugs. Sweet, sweet, sweet drugs.
Join us on Serious Danger every Sunday. You can subscribe to us anywhere you get podcasts.
You can find us on Patreon. We're at Serious Danger AU on the socials, or just head to seriousdangerpod.com.
That's Serious Danger with me, Emerald Moon.
And me, Tom Ballard. Do you think we need something at the end there? Go Greens.
Welcome to the Sustainable You podcast with your hosts, Jackie Kidman and Lisa Whiston. Self-proclaimed urban hippies, waste warriors, and passionate women. Tune in for practical information and inspiration on how to reduce your impact on the environment and become a more sustainable you.
Before we begin, Lisa and Jackie would like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and the places on which we record our podcast. We pay our respects to elders past, present, and emerging.
Hey everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of the Sustainable You podcast. I'm flying solo today. Lisa is busy homeschooling three kids, and she's also working on a really big and exciting project with Climate for Change. So it's just me. Today I'm sharing another business that is doing amazing things in the waste-free, plastic-free movement. I hope you enjoy listening to this conversation as much as I enjoyed having it. So I'm very excited to introduce you to our guest today. This is Peter. She is the, will we say the founder? Yes, the Swag founder, which is a product. I'll get Peter to do all the details about this product because she will do it a lot more justice than I will. It's a pretty cool concept that is all about reducing food waste, which is a big tick in my book. Your story really resonated with me because I was like, oh, I'm the same. I was like that too, you know, so in good company, I think. So welcome to the Sustainable You podcast. Thank you so much for your time. I guess I wanted to ask, what is the Swag? Who are you? Tell us the beginning.
The beginning. Wow. Okay. So I guess I grew up sustainably northwest of Sydney on acreage where we had copious amounts of animals and a huge vegetable garden. And my parents were actually back then worm agents. So people used to come and pick up their worms to start their own worm farms. Yeah, so really we didn't bring any waste into the house, and we dealt with all of our own waste on the property as well. And obviously the manure from the horses and the sheep and everything fertilized the vegetable garden, and the vegetable scraps, you know, fed the chooks and the horses and everything else. And so it was this beautiful little eco-sustainable cycle, I guess. And then as a young teenager, well, an older teenager, I should say, not a young teenager. I moved out of home and just was getting all of my produce at the shops in the single plastic bags. And I just noticed that they were turning so quickly, and I was throwing out so much vegetable waste, rotted vegetables. And the feeling of guilt that hit me was phenomenal. And I tried all different things. And then I actually visited my mum and dad, and my mum had wrapped her herbs in a damp tea towel, and I saw it in the crisper of the fridge, and I said, what's this? And she goes, oh, it makes a difference by a couple of days. So I started doing that. And that's when it really dawned on me that, you know, inside the plastic bag, the vegetables were trying to breathe, and they needed air, something permeable. And they also needed water, because air and water are essential to life, right? And just because you remove your vegetable or herb or whatever from the plant, it doesn't mean it dies straight away. It actually can stay alive for a lot, lot longer than we think. So plastic was actually suffocating the produce. It was starting to sweat, which is while it's trying to breathe, it's losing its nutrients, so that those little beads of water that you see, the condensation building up inside the plastic bag, is actually nutrients leaving your vegetables or fruits. So it made sense to me that obviously the solution needed to be permeable, but I created the swag, and the swag is a multi-layered bag, and there's a really beautiful thick central layer that we get made to specification. You basically dampen the bag down and then you fill it with fresh produce and leafy greens, and you get 2+ weeks of amazing freshness out of your fruit and veggies.
Yes, I've tested it and it works. And I love that you can, you know, like when you've got like, because I store a lot of things, you know, like I've got the big Tupperware, and I do find that helps, but it's sort of like everything's stored in plastic, and, you know, like, you know, I try to avoid that as much as I can. But what I loved is that you can just chuck a mix of things, whereas I find the stuff that when you store in a plastic, it has to be the sort of almost like the same grouping of families, you know, like you can't store your spinach leaves with maybe your cauliflower or something like that. I don't know if that's a good combination, but whereas this, I just felt like I could just chuck everything in, and it just, yeah, I didn't need to separate that.
And yeah, that you've got heavy breathers and light breathers in the range of fruit and veggies. So that's what they're trying to get you to separate, and you can adjust on the Tupperware, but they take up a lot of space in the general fridge space as well, I find. Whereas the swag likes to be in the crisper, where it is an ideal environment for your fruit and veggies. But the swag just amplifies that crisper environment and creates this beautiful little greenhouse inside the bag that the veggies just love. They just are so happy for so long.
Do you know, I don't really use my crisper until I've got the swag, because storing things in little containers, that was sort of more on the shelves. So I wasn't using the crisper until recently, until I got a swag. So it's kind of another space in my fridge that is being utilized, which is awesome.
Nice.
We've been around for about 4 or 5 years.
Yep, correct.
But obviously a concept that you started thinking about, like, I'm not going to guess how old you are, but, you know, you started that a long time ago.
I was working full-time in media, and I was juggling, obviously, kids and a full-time job, and I had the idea in the back of my mind, and I didn't tell anyone about it. I just had the idea. The only person I shared it with is obviously my parents, and my mum was actually helping me make the prototype. You know, I'd start and I'd stop. Life would get in the way, and it was just, you know, like anything, getting something to market. I also had to patent it, so I got patents all around the world. So we've had patents granted in Australia, New Zealand, Canada, US, Europe, Singapore, and we've got lots of others pending around the world. So that was a challenging process as well to navigate, but it was like just having another baby, you know, just sleepless nights, getting up and working all through the night. But it was exciting. So it took me a while to get it to market. And like anything, you're kind of thinking, is this going to be something that people want? But when I actually had the final product and the prototype, and I gave it out to about 100 people, even people that didn't want it and said they weren't really interested, I've sort of forced it upon them, and 100% of the people that tested it came back just raving, saying, oh my God, I thought it'd be good, but I didn't know it'd be that good. So it is a game changer, and it's a fabulous first step for people that are probably trying to start their journey of living plastic free and waste free.
And I was just thinking as you were saying that, I was thinking, what a beautiful housewarming gift, or, you know, like for someone, like I was thinking for you, your story started when you left home and you were all of a sudden you're purchasing stuff in plastic. You know, you kind of then had to go back to understanding, well, how do I do this correctly? Like what a great housewarming gift for those people that are moving out. They're already on the right step.
100%. Yeah, Christmas is huge for us, and so many of our customers buy, once they're using the swag, buy it as gifts. We've had lots of people do it as baby showers. So, yeah, it's amazing, and a lot of corporate gifts as well. So it is a really thoughtful gift, because it obviously, not only are you saving the planet, but you're saving money because you're not throwing away. The average Australian household throws away about $1,500 worth of fresh produce each year. And as we know, our governments can't keep up with the recycling as it is, and the food waste is a very heavy waste, so it's very challenging for our governments to handle. So, yeah, it's a beautiful gift.
Yeah, we need to stop that stuff that throwing away, even though there's a lot more, like there's composting and there's community composting sort of facilities. We've just gone with my council where they've introduced the community composting, so it can all go into our green waste now. I was listening to something they were saying about we need to stop thinking about, like, yes, it's great that we can compost and make beautiful, rich, nutrient-rich soil, but it's about before that, you know, so it's about making sure that we're purchasing what we need and we're not throwing away rotting food and unused food. So purchasing what we need and obviously storing it correctly so that we don't have to worry about what happens to it at the end.
100%. And also, whenever we throw any kind of food away, we're actually driving up the cost of all food. Food waste is something that we all have to be very conscious of. And scientists are saying in, you know, 20, 30 years' time that fresh produce will be largely unaffordable for most people because there's such a limited amount of agricultural land available, not to mention the water. There's a limit to how much we can grow, basically. So this is why a lot of these vertical gardens are popping up. And I've heard of gardens that are happening inside shipping containers now. So they're vertical gardens and they're growing and they're placed in all different locations so that they can get the fresher produce to the store. Yeah, so really interesting things that are happening. But it's obviously, you know, food security is a massive issue for the planet. And so every time you throw that away, you're not only throwing away your hard-earned dollars, you're actually driving up the cost of food for all. And for me, that's really sad because lower socioeconomic areas or people that are just struggling paycheck to paycheck are going to resort to more processed foods that are cheaper rather than fresh fruit and veggies. And as we know with your kids, you know, to have a balanced, focused child, it's a balanced diet of beautiful fruit and veggies that keeps their hormones stable and keeps their mood stable. So it's really, really important for learning and growing healthy adults, essentially.
So you mentioned a few obstacles, starting any business. I mean, it was a sort of a stop-start process for you, as you sort of had mentioned. Can you list maybe some of the main obstacles that occurred for you?
Oh, my God. There's so many. Look, you know, obviously time. Getting something to market and obviously manufacturing the product was really challenging to get it manufactured in Australia, and we really tried to work out a manufacturing solution, you know, on Australian shore, but we actually had to go offshore to India. Yeah, so flying over to India and you know, meeting with all these different manufacturers and making sure that they're, you know, monitored by CEDEX, which is fair trade and ethical, the monitoring of ethical and fair trade practices, and then landing on that. So that was a challenge, just the language barrier, you know, making sure that we're getting the right materials and everything was made to specification. And then little things that, you know, like the swag is made out of unbleached, unseeded cotton. So it's cotton at its very rawest, and it's the safest thing to put up against your food. And so it's so porous and raw that you can't print onto the bag. And we obviously need some instructions on there and so forth. So we actually had to sew a little patch onto the bag, because otherwise we'd have to literally put a chemical through the swag for the ink to bind to. And obviously we didn't want to do that. We didn't want to put anything toxic into the bag. So we sewed on these little patches, so they're just some of the little things that we had to deal with. But then probably the biggest challenge was, you know, I had the whole house full of boxes. We were literally sleeping on boxes and just, you know, filling orders, coming home from a full day's work, working full time. And I worked full time for the first 2 years of launching the swag. So, you know, I just felt like that. I just worked and worked and worked. I still do. But it's a labor of love. So, but the biggest one lately has obviously been COVID, and India has been just overwhelmed. It's so sad to see how they're suffering over there with COVID. And a lot of the migrant workers have fled the cities because they're so crowded and there's no work there because there's limits. They're in and out of lockdown all the time. So the world has really wanted the swag. So we're in the US and Canada and Europe and Australia and New Zealand. And we've had this huge demand and we haven't been able to keep up with that demand because of the stop-start nature of the manufacturing out of India. So that's been a real challenge, which is, but we, you know, we can't, I, it doesn't upset me because we've got to make sure that the workers are safe in the factories, and we're just doing the best that we can. We work collaboratively with our lovely manufacturer and make sure that everyone's safe. The whole supply chain is safe.
I love how when you said about, like, you know, you're working through the obstacle of you print something on it and then it would change the product to making it, you know, like, so you're constantly going back to your core value of you wanting it as raw as possible, as, you know, you're not no chemicals, and how sometimes I think when you're making a product and you're getting really close to the finish that you kind of go like, oh, okay, we'll just compromise, but it's actually against everything you wanted. I love how you've stuck that out and kind of just, okay, let's workshop and let's find another solution.
Yeah, I would never compromise on that. You know, it's really important. I know when I looked into all the different materials, like bamboo, for instance, is a lot of people think it's eco and sustainable, but it's actually very toxic as a fabric, and there's no environmental properties to it anymore. And if you think about it, it's a really hard wood. So they actually have to basically mulch it, put it in a wood chip it, and then they put it through an acid slime bath and turn it into this luxurious fabric. So some of that greenwashing was for me, that took a lot of time for me to research, and because no one was talking about the process of bamboo. But the more people I spoke to in the fabric houses, and I'd say constantly say to them, what do you think is the safest fabric to put up against your food? And every single time they said cotton. And that's when I started to really think, well, why aren't they recommending bamboo? And I started to dig deep and then discovered a whole range of things in the textile world that was a little bit mind-blowing. But
I think someone was saying about like bamboo underwear or something, and they were saying, well, it also does use up a lot of water.
Yeah, cotton does too. Look, there's no perfect solution really, but that's for us. The main thing is we, with our manufacturer, our products last years and years and years. Like I've got my original swags from 6 years ago, the original test one, and my family who've all got, they've still got all their original, and my friends and everyone I know, they've got their original. So we proudly hand make them so that they will last years, which is in line with our zero waste ethics. But that way, you know, you're really getting the use. It's not a single use. And so that little bit of water up front to make the cotton is worth it when you think of all the vegetables and the plastic that you're saving throughout those 5 years. And then all of our products are fully compostable at the end of their life. So you basically can just compost them and there's zero impact on the planet or our wildlife. So we've got bread swags and tea swags and lunch swags and produce bags. We've got clothes swags even. So anywhere where I've looked at plastic and thought, oh my God, that's way too much plastic. So I send my husband's shirts off to be ironed, and I look at the dry cleaning going around with all that plastic on it, and I just thought, nah. So this clothes swag is a little laundry bag, and you drop it off and you say plastic free on there, and they bring it back in your clothes swag, and you just keep reusing them over and over again. So yeah, I've just looked at anywhere where there's plastic that I can, that I think that there's a good solution to replace it.
One of our favorite things is hearing people's stories, and, you know, like, it just so inspiring just to hear about other, like, all these amazing businesses out there that are just trying to do better. You know, like, it's I think the world of climate change and climate crisis and the environment and stuff like that, it can get a bit it can be a bit intense.
Absolutely. There's a big thing at the moment, eco anxiety. And a lot of the millennials have just got this, they're so anxious because we're literally handing them this pile of mess and saying, fix it. And they're thinking, God, but if you didn't fix it, how are we going to fix it? You know, like it's really unfair. And my father, before he died, was deeply, deeply, deeply upset by the state of the planet. And he actually almost went into politics and wanted to really enforce change around the environment. But it's all about the legacy that we're leaving behind for me. And there's also another deeper drive for me, and it's the thing that actually was the thing that got me to really into action and getting that forward momentum with the business was when I saw a documentary on children trapped in sex slavery. And I was a blubbering mess only 2 minutes into this documentary. And I came into the office and registered and the business name and started the patent process that very day. And it was, for me, something that I wanted to create a revenue stream to be able to donate and, you know, help children that are trapped in these horrific situations. And so we donate heavily to Destiny Rescue, which is an amazing organization. So in 2019, Finn year, we actually donated all of our profits and then some, which I got slapped on the wrist by a business advisor who said, "How many children do you want to save, Peter?" And I said, "All of them." And he goes, "Well, you can't be doing that because you've got to grow your business so that then you can actually save more." So we're being a little bit more strategic with our thinking now, but it's a cause close to my heart, and everyone in the swag team is on board with that purpose as well.
Yeah, two extremely important causes there. Yeah, they're both just as equally important, I think, as well. That's amazing. Good on you. But it's important to keep the business growing and some profits in there so you can keep funding that stuff as well.
Yeah, maybe I could pay myself one day. Wouldn't that be nice? No, it's worth it. I'm stoked to see how it's growing, and the swag movement and our swagging customers are just, and our retailers as well. They're just beautiful humans. They really are, and we love communicating and having this amazing customer base of just beautiful people.
So to wrap it up, we always ask our guests this last question because everybody seems to have their own spin on it. But what tip around sustainability could you offer our Sustainable You community?
Okay, so probably, let me think, probably the best thing I would say, it's really easy, especially after being in lockdown, it's 21 days to create a habit. And a lot of people got into the habits of their keep cups and, you know, their reusable shopping bags. And a lot of those habits have been broken during lockdown, unfortunately. So my biggest tip is when you do forget your keep cup or you forget your durable shopping bags, then you have to give yourself a pain point. So rather than getting the coffee in a takeaway mug, just don't get the coffee, and that'll retrain you into remembering your keep cup or remembering your reusable bag. So in the case of reusable bags, if you forget them, just put all your shopping into the trolley, put all your shopping then into the boot of the car from the trolley, and when you get home, you can pack it into your bags and move it in the house. So those kinds of things that really help you reshape the direction or your choices, I guess, and think more sustainably.
I love that wording, pain point. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's kind of giving you accountability, I guess, hey?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I know that I've been making my coffee at home because my local cafe said no to the keep cup. So I was just like, well, I'll just make it at home. It's all good. Not as good as the store-bought. But then once I went in there and I, you know, like I said to him, how long am I going to keep this up for? Like, you know, there's no cases in our area. There hasn't been for, you know, like blah, blah, blah. Anyway, I worked my magic. They now accept it, but it breaks my heart. What are you still doing? Still getting takeaway? You know, it's, yeah.
Yeah,
it,
I know.
It breaks
and,
my heart.
You know, just all the Uber Eats and all the containers, you just see so many bins just filled with these containers.
We've got masks here and, yeah, I live near a beach and I go for a walk, you know, most days down there, and, you know, I'm always picking up the disposable masks. And
oh, same. Me too. I can't believe it. They're just everywhere. I do this amazing bushwalk and the kids and I always pick up plastic or cans or whatever we find. There are so many masks. It's unbelievable. It is heartbreaking, but, you know, we're doing our bit, you know, and that's all you can do. And, you know, one foot in front of the other, and as long as you're doing a little bit, if we're all doing a little bit, then that makes a huge difference.
And we adjusted before and we'll adjust again. And I think that it will be quicker once things are a little bit lifted, but it will, everybody will go back to like, yep, I want to take my cup. I think that, you know, and those sort of little practices again, just, you're right, we need those 21 days of allowing people to get.
Just so we can get some traction. I think for me, actually, when COVID hit, I was actually, you know, I'm generally a very, very positive person, but I got quite down about, you know, the state of the world. And then when COVID hit and you heard all those stories about, you know, in India, the pollution lifting and, you know, all of these amazing environmental stories. And I thought, yeah, actually it's not too late. We can do this. We can do this. We've just got to, you know, get into action. So I think that for a lot of people was a good eye opener. And I think that as we know, the sustainability sector is growing in leaps and bounds. I mean, it's just huge. So that's wonderful to see. So people are jumping on board. And yeah, I think everyone's doing their part, which is good to hear.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Peter, it was so lovely to talk to you. It's actually raised my vibration this morning, I have to say.
Oh, that's wonderful.
I do appreciate the chat. I was, I needed that conversation. I really, really did.
So did I.
Thank you, Jackie, for sharing that chat with us. That was a really great conversation that you had with Peter, and I personally was really inspired by the fact that she stuck to her values all the way through what must have been a very difficult process to get an amazing product off the ground. I use the swag, it works beautifully. It was also really great to hear her sustainable tip of, you know, not letting bad habits take over and really giving yourself a pain point to force the good habits back in. I'm feeling like I'm at the end of what seems like the longest lockdown ever, and there's a lot of heavy stuff going on in the climate change space. And so just to kind of make it simple in terms of bringing it back to what you can control each day and each moment that you're faced with a choice kind of just makes me feel a little bit more in control of an uncontrollable situation.
Yes, yes. I totally agree with that. That's what I love about those little chats that we have with people, is that it's not just about a product. Like, it's people's stories, it's people's lives, it's people's values. The product is what might happen at the end, or that might be a product of those core values, but it's, there's just so much more behind these businesses. And that's what I love, just by, you know, just by having these little chats with them. I'm so inspired. And yes, we are looking for more inspiration at this time when we feel like nothing is inspiring us at the moment. So I hope that you guys out there found that interview with Peter of value, just like Lisa and I did. And as always, we hope that it's inspired you and it will help you to become a more sustainable you.
Sustainable You can be found on Instagram at Sustainable You Pod, on Facebook at Sustainable You Podcast, or connect via email at sustainableyoupod@gmail.com. Episodes are created by Lisa and Jackie and produced by Fran from 17th Street Audio. If you appreciate the podcasting information shared, please like, subscribe, and share. If you are listening on iTunes, Jackie and Lisa would appreciate you giving them a 5-star rating and writing a review to help other people find their podcast.